It's O'Neill Outside. On News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. For fishing and hunting or anything in the great outdoors, O'Neill Williams is your guide. Let's go outside with O'Neill.
Girls from the Bojangles Studio high in the mountains in North Georgia at the Black Powder headquarters. This is O'Neill Outside presenting to you Real Tree Radio. Welcome to a brand new unused Saturday morning. We have such fun here. I got to tell you all about it one day. But welcome to the program. We've got 2 hours of outdoors headed your way, and I hope you'll be able to join us this morning. You can listen on WSB Radio in 38 states, the sports broadcast, the SB Nation Radio all across the country into 126 affiliates, and also on Facebook. And we'll have a lot of news about the addition of things of that sort as time goes on. So welcome to the program, everyone. We hope you'll join us. Telephone numbers are 404-872-0750, 404-872-0750, or 800-972-8255 worldwide. And I tell you one thing you will not hear this morning over the next 2 hours, at least during the body of the program, Peter Strzok and Lisa Page and the president or anything of that nature. It's time to set aside politics for the next couple of hours, and let's spend some outdoor time and make plans to spend it with your family, fishing, hunting, camping, hiking, and all the wonderful things that you can do there, and we can start talking about politics again on Monday morning. Does that sound okay? Now, I've always been proud to be able to say this is outdoor time now from 4 to 6 a.m. on WSB and the SB Nation Radio. Let me tell you, this program is brought to you every Saturday morning by Tough Shed, Horsetown, Hayes Auto, Realtree, Fire Aid 2000, Timbuktu Outdoors, great stuff, True Turn and Roadrunner, Crocodile Bay Resort, Striplings, Works Tools, the Whitetail Institute, Rugged Ridge, Jeep Parts, excuse me, and you can always tell if a Jeep has been in touch with Rugged Ridge because of the way it looks, and Thoroughgood Boots, and the Governor's Gun Club. So, 2 hours of outdoors headed your way. Woman Williams will join us in a little while. This is O'Neill on Saturday mornings, and I hope you'll take time to join us. You know the telephone numbers, so let's get...
Hey, longer Triple Team traffic coverage every 6 minutes. Monday in Atlanta's Morning News, what you need to know to make the most of Prime Day. And when Clark Howard says you should borrow money to go on vacation. On News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB.
As we proceed this morning, it's my duty to remind you that you're watching O'Neill Outside and Real Tree Radio. And proudly telling you that it is the number one live outdoor-based radio talk show in the world. And emanating from a little studio here in North Georgia, that's quite impressive. Karen and Brian Green are in Peachtree City. We're wired into Peachtree City, Georgia. And Jason Byers in the WSB radio studio. And I'm telling you, I'm proud and so amazed that it can happen this way. 404-872-0750, 800-972-8255. We've got great things on the schedule this morning. But right now, let's go ahead and chat with Chris, and he's calling from Jasper, Georgia, a great little town. Good morning, Chris. You're on the radio.
Good morning, O'Neill. How you doing?
Outstanding.
Great. Hey, quick question. Of course, during archery season, I got to get close. But my question is, I'm going out scouting, and I see the trails. You know, it's pretty, a lot of foliage is still, on the trees, but do the bucks travel the same trails as the does, or should I try to get off the main trails a ways?
Well, during the rut, they're all on the same trail, and that's your best bet, that's for sure. But you are doing it right, and you're making a hunt out of it, and I congratulate you for that. A lot of people claim that a food plot is not a hunt, but there's some stipulations in there. I don't think a pile of corn is a hunt, and we've got that to talk about later. But your preparation in the woods is what counts. You're making a hunt out of it. When the rut begins, everything changes. That's why I will tell you, and I probably, you sound like you're a veteran hunter, during the rut, you hunt for the does. You follow?
Correct.
You hunt for the does because that's what he is looking for, too. He's trying to find them. And he doesn't bed up very long in the during the run either. You know, the whitetail buck rarely sleeps more than 30 minutes at a time. Most of the time, 2 or 3 minutes. So are you already scouting and spending some time in the woods in preparation for deer season?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I got ate it with ticks the other day. I mean, it's pretty bad. But, yeah, I was looking around. But I guess my question is, when, archery season starts in September, of course, I'll probably wait a little bit later. But will the bucks be traveling those same trails then before the rut or
no?
Or no?
No. What you're finding, or what's the difference between a deer route that does use and a route or place that the bucks use? All right, the difference is if bucks are using it, there's going to be scrapes and rubs. If the does, okay, then it won't be. They will mutually use that, but you're in and out of food plots, and those routes will be marked by the scrapes and rubs if it's a buck travel route. They do not bed down at night together until the rut begins.
Fantastic. I appreciate the advice. Thank you.
You know that what's so interesting to me about it is, of so many things is what applies this year is the same thing that applies last year and the year before and the year before and next year too.
You know, the thing about hunters, and I've heard you say it 1,000 times, but these guys still don't understand that what you just said. They go in the rut the same time every year. Mm-hmm. But most of these guys will say, well, it's too hot, or when it gets cold, the rut starts. But, you know, you tell me the number of hours in the day. I forget the term you call it. But anyway.
It's the photo period.
Yeah, that's right. So I think that's
actually
the biggest.
The terminology correct that I've learned from the DNR people is it's photoperiodism. It's the application of the number of hours of daylight.
Right.
Interesting.
Well, Neil, I appreciate it. Enjoy your show.
Have a great weekend, pal. I'm glad you called.
Thank you.
You bet. I'll see you soon. There you go. Let's see. Make sure there we are. I always have help running this. 17 after the hour. Let's go ahead and talk to Alan, I believe. Good morning, Alan. This is O'Neill. Welcome to the program. What are we talking about this morning?
Hey, O'Neill. How y'all doing this morning?
Good.
The reason I'm calling in is to talk about the gentleman that called in last weekend upset about the corn.
Right.
I understand where that man was coming from. I see his point of view. I thought you handled the situation very well. But what people don't understand about hunting over corn is you're taking away the natural senses of the deer to hunt for food on their own, for hunting their natural food sources.
Yes.
And the yearling deer, if all they know is to hunt, is to eat corn, they will never learn what other food sources are out there for them. If there's deer on the property, there has to be a food source of some kind. And I don't disagree with the gentleman. I understand why he's so specific about corn because of, you know, it's easy, it's for kids, whatever. But also with the corn, guess who else is sitting there waiting on the deer? They're the predators.
You betcha.
You're setting up the yearlings to be massacred by the coyotes, the bobcats, and the foxes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like the problem we have with the bears in North Georgia. When people start feeding the bears forget how to hunt on their own, so they start coming into the towns, into the garbage cans, because that's what they're looking for.
Mm-hmm. They and the bear, you know, we have a lot of bears here in North Georgia where I live, and in talking with the DNR and transferring this subject matter, which is related from the whitetail over to the bear doesn't relearn. He doesn't unlearn to visit someone's house and go back to his natural habits.
Well, the same thing will happen with the young deer, the first year deer. If they don't know anything other than eating corn, then they don't know how to learn how to hunt for food on their own. If there's deer on the property, there's got to be a food source that keeps them there, or they wouldn't be there to begin with.
Yeah, or they'll just leave. That's right.
And then, like with us hunting for pigs down in South Georgia with the farmers, a lot of them have corn feeders, you know, the spreaders.
Mm-hmm.
But what they're having the problem with is, once the pigs find the corn, it's theirs. Nobody else is coming in there. The pigs will take over. They'll defecate in it. And then, like the feeders in South Georgia, the pigs know there's corn in that machine. So they'll beat on it and beat on it and beat on it until they knock it over, and then it's theirs. I mean, we've seen too many of them on cameras watching these pigs knock these big feeders over. You know, these are expensive pieces of equipment,
yeah.
And they treat it like it's a toy, you know.
Yeah, the hogs are a huge problem. They are very smart. And I will tell you, if you get a population of hogs, that will help you remove the turkeys and the deer from your property.
And quickly. I mean, because the hogs, once they find it, they find the corn, they're going to know it's there too, you know, and they're going to come in and run everything else off. And of course, once the deer smell the hogs, especially their defecation, they're not coming back, period.
Yeah, they're afraid of them.
Yeah, oh, yeah, of course. And most predators, small predators, are afraid of the hogs, too, because I've seen some that I'm scared of. I mean, I've seen some big hogs, the last couple of years hunting with these boys. And, yeah, I've seen some that I wouldn't want to be caught one-on-one with in the woods with.
Absolutely.
But I understand where that gentleman was coming from. You know, it's about.
I do too.
And but I thought both of you handled the situation really well. But I just wish people would understand there's a good thing about corn and there's a bad thing about corn. And once you start feeding a wild animal, he loses the sense for him to go back to his natural feeding habits.
That is absolutely correct. The food plot doesn't do that.
Of course, and like I say, if there's deer on the property, they know there's deer on the property, there's got to be a food source there for them, or they wouldn't be there to begin with.
Great call, Alan. I got to go, pal. You bet. I'm sorry to drop Alan off. I got to go to a break. This is O'Neill, and I'll be back. Now, whether it be the radio show or the television program or whatever, I always, I selfishly want you, if you listen or watch the show, that you learn something, whether it has application or whether you find it just interesting. I'm going to tell you this, then we got to get to the calls. I promise I will. The pronghorn antelope. Now, Travis has been hunting them out in Texas, and there's a show coming up, I think this week or next, hunting antelope. Number one, the antelope that we know of, the pronghorn, is not an antelope. It's a goat. Number one, see what you learned? And number two, his closest animal relative on Earth is a giraffe. Don't you feel better about that? Now let's talk to Don, and Don is calling on O'Neill Outside from
Ocean Isle, North Carolina.
Hello there, my good friend. It's good to hear your voice.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I've been at ICAST this week. You know that is?
Say it's again.
The ICAST, the largest fishing tackle show in the world. It was in Orlando, and I'm going to talk about that later, but ICAST,
I'm sure you enjoyed that.
Oh, boy. Yes, sir.
The first time I ever met you?
Pardon me?
Do you remember the first time I ever met you?
No, Don, I do not.
It was when Bass Pro opened their store in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, whenever that was.
Oh yes, I remember that. Oh, my goodness.
And if I ask you the same question 2 weeks from now, you know I'm getting old.
Yeah, I do the same story over and over. If it works, go ahead and repeat it.
Yeah, the fishing's getting but flounder fishing's pretty good this year.
Oh,
it's last year it was almost non-existent, but this year it's fair.
The I still remember that beautiful preparation of the flounder that you brought us that day. That was a delicacy.
Yeah, that's the good news is we eat that a whole lot over here whenever the fish are prevalent.
Good.
The water temperature offshore is a little cool this year. It's low 80s, and normally this year it's in the mid 80s. But the king mackerel fishing is good if you can find bait the fish are there. So
good. Happens that way every year, just with a little bit of an adjustment, right?
It does, and if you get out there when the water temperature is about close to 90 and the temperature is above that and you see a mosquito light on the water, you know that you need to be somewhere else.
Cause that's
a little warm.
Yes, sir. Well, how's Ross, and what kind of trips have you guys got planned this summer and
he
fall?
He and Duncan are going saltwater. Duncan got a boat down in Panacea, Florida, and they're going snapper fishing the latter part of this month.
Okay.
And then he and Duncan are coming over here in August to see me. And this is the first year I think I've ever completely depleted my shrimp in the freezer this year.
Uh-oh.
So I gotta round up some shrimp by the time they get here.
There you go. That's my favorite. If I have to pick anything out of salt water, I'm going to pick shrimp first.
Yeah, well, the brown shrimp will be in shortly, and then later on in the fall is normally whenever I stock the freezer is when the white shrimp come in. But North Carolina shrimp is hard to beat.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You know, I lost my fishing buddy. He passed away about 3 weeks ago, and he and I been fishing for the last 20-some-odd years.
Oh,
and he was the best flounder fishing I've ever seen.
Oh, good. Well, I'm sorry you lost him. It's
well,
interesting.
Well, he's where he wanted to be right now. So, he furnished me with flounder. I furnished him with grouper. I could outfish him on grouper, but I couldn't touch him on flounder.
Oh yeah, it's interesting how pleasant it is to revisit the old stories about your fishing buddies and when you got started and what you did, and it gives me opportunity. Have I sent you the book yet?
Have not.
Well, I think it's on the way, and of course I'm making reference to O'Neill Outside. It's the people and places along the way, and you can buy it, of course, at Amazon, both the e-version and pretty soon the Audible and the paperback, but I'll send you one, and I'm going to start selling them on the website so that I can autograph them. O'Neill Outside, it's worthwhile.
I'll be looking forward to get that, and when I get it, I want to bring it to you and let you autograph it because that's going to be a prized possession in my life.
Well, you're very, very kind, and I appreciate it. I'm glad you called, my friend.
And love to you and Jake, you and Gail. Love the show.
I will see you soon, my good friend. There you are. Now let's talk to Mark. He's calling from down in Camden County. Good morning, Mark. You're on O'Neill Outside. Welcome.
Good morning, O'Neill. How you doing?
Good. What do you got planned today? Where are you headed?
I'm actually had a couple of fellas taught me into fishing a king mackerel tournament with them.
Oh, boy.
I really don't care to do them much anymore. I fished many of them when I was younger, but they were shorthand, so I volunteered. Down here at a marina you're familiar with now, loading up, getting ready to go at Morning Star on St. Simon. So.
Oh, boy. Okay. Well, you got quite a little. Are they how long a trip is that for you to make out of there on the water to where the kings will be running?
Well, you know what? That all depends on where the kingfish are. Sometimes they can be just a few miles. Sometimes it could be 80 miles.
Yes.
Today, we're running all the way down to fish off of Nassau River down off Amelia Island, Florida. It's probably about 29 or 30-mile run, I guess.
Okay, well, that's not too bad.
No, it's not bad at all. I had a buddy of mine scout fished it yesterday, and he put a 43-pounder in the boat, so we're going to go.
Wow. That's a whopper. What's it going to take to win it?
one probably about like that. I would say 38 to 45 pounds.
I would
probably
say so too. I'm not telling you this to top your story, but I think you'll find it interesting. About 20 years ago, I have a good friend, and he and his wife went with another fishing buddy and his wife, and they went to the Keys. A half a day trip out of the Keys, out of Isla Mirada. They're sitting there, and one of the ladies is reading a book. They said, "Which rod do you want?" "I'll take the pink rod. I'll just use this one." They're out, and they finally get the bait in the water. The fish hits, and the captain set the hook, which ruined it because that king weighed 88 pounds.
That's a good one. That's a matter of fact, that's pushing the world record. Is only 90-something, I believe.
Yeah, I think it's 94 pounds. It would have been a world record for women.
Yep. That might be the best overall numbers game for king mackerels down in the Keys in January, February. We had 72 fish down there in one day during a scout day back in 1996 when I was fishing them heavy. And that was a fun trip because I was docked right next to Jose Wahibe, too, which was pretty cool.
Were you?
And
Did you meet him?
Yeah, I sure did a couple of times.
Nice
really
fella.
Nice guy.
Nice
guy. Yep, and he always steered me in the right directions. He knew I was from way out of town. Whenever I'd see him, he'd kind of tell me, you might want to go check out the West Dry Rocks have been good, or you might want to run over to the Dry Tortugas or whatever. And that's what we did.
Now, Mark is talking about Jose Wahibe. He had a what was the name of his show?
Spanish Fly.
Yeah, the Spanish Fly. He was a good guy, a great host. I always liked it because he had classical music on the show.
Yep. One thing I remembered about meeting him too, is you ever meet somebody that has what you call an infectious smile? He had one.
Good. He
little twinkle in the eyes and an infectious smile and a shake of the hand and very genuine man.
He died in a plane crash, didn't he? He was the pilot.
He sure did. He was in his own plane, got caught in a wind shear and got drove right down into the ground.
Oh man. Well,
but
I hate
fishing down here. Fishing down here is pretty good right now. If you get lined up with any of your regulars down here between Wendell or Mark, and it's been a good year down here so far. I mean, kingfish, Spanish, the trout have been all over Cumberland Beach down south of us. I had a friend of mine had over 100 down there in a half a day.
Goodness gracious. I'm going to fish out of Amelia Island on the 24th and 25th of this month.
Who are
you
fishing with?
I'm going to fish with Jimmy Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
Behind the shrimp boat for sharks.
There you go. You'll get a kick out of that. Those big black spinners. We came through a school of spinner sharks down there about 2 miles off South Jetty on St. Mary's, and there was fish jumping everywhere.
Oh, man. Yeah. You know, I've never landed a spinner.
You have to carry something?
Yep. You'll see them.
Well, they jump and spin and break the hook, break the line.
They sure will.
Yeah, I've never landed one. I've landed some big black tips. I landed a black tip about 110.
Yeah,
but it had to be just right. All right, my good friend, have a good, safe trip and stay in touch.
Yes, sir.
You bet. I'll see you soon, pal. There you go. Mark always has a great adventure or two to pass along to us. It's 35 after the hour. We need to go to a break here for a moment, but when we return in a few minutes, we will have the radio prize package. The question's a little bit too easy this week, I'm afraid, but nevertheless, that's okay. We'll get to it right away. And this is O'Neill with O'Neill Outside. The telephone numbers are 404-872-0750, 800-972-8255. You can be in touch with us also on Facebook, even though Woman Williams is not with us first part of the program this morning, for her to monitor that. But, leave your questions. She'll be down here in a few minutes. And we can entertain your questions, your observations, and listen to your recommendations. Now, whether you're in Sacramento or L.A. or St. Louis, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, Dallas, Houston, Little Rock, Columbus, it doesn't matter. You can be in touch with us on the Sports Broadcast Radio Network and, of course, WSB. This is O'Neill Outside presents Real Tree Radio, and it's about time to start talking about deer hunting and all that. And I'll have an observation about ICAST, the biggest sport fishing show in the world. I was there this week, It was a pleasant experience, and I learned a lot, and I'll be passing along that to you, along with the radio. Welcome back, everyone. It's time for us to make the show a little bit more worthwhile, if you will. This is, of course, O'Neill Outside, and it's time for the radio prize package. Let me give you the rules and the list of prizes. Then the unusual question, I'm afraid it's probably going to be a little bit too easy for you, but we'll give it a try. Let me make an explanation. First of all, the questions that we ask on the radio prize package during the program are questions that you would only know if you listened to the show. They're very specially designed. So here's an easy one. But first of all, here's the radio prize package, and I have to read it, and I probably should get my glasses. You'll get a fire aid fire suppressor, one of these. That right there, okay? You can see that on Facebook. $25 Bass Pro Shop gift card, $10 Bojangles gift card. Great chicken. You know it. Okay. What's next if I can see it? Swaggerty Farms. You get a coupon so you can buy some Swaggerty's Farm. DNR Magazine, a bottle of Big Green Egg barbecue sauce, a Real Tree hat and decal combo, a Forecaster from Data Sport, Angler Magazine, a Dude Magazine, two cans of Fisher's Choice baits. Big hit that was. I got to tell you about that. Bug Band wipes. A True Turn hook pack. A Thunder Chicken float by Mark Noble. A Thorogood hat. And just a Thorogood hat. And let's see what else. I think that's it. And here is your question. Telephone numbers are 404-872-0750-800-972-8255. Here's your question. Call in. It will not be repeated. And the question is, Jimmy Houston and O'Neill both played the same musical instrument when we were, not the same one, but the same style, if you will, the same musical instrument when we were in high school. Not exactly the coolest instrument going. What was the instrument that Jimmy and O'Neill played? Okay, it's 42 after the hour, and now we've got a caller right here. Let's see if we can get to. I don't have a name right here, Jason, so we want to try that one right there on line number six. Okay, this is O'Neill. You're on the radio. Who's this?
Are you speaking to me?
I hope so.
Uh-oh, this will be Richard. In
place. Hey, Richard, it wasn't on my screen that it was Richard. Are you listening this morning, or do we want to chat?
No, I'm listening to you. Just
good.
Turn the radio on here. You're on SB Nation, and I was listening to you.
It always
I
is good to hear somebody.
Question, but I didn't really call about the question because I wouldn't know what kind of instrument you and Jimmy Houston were playing.
Well,
but I actually called because I had a question to ask about the outdoors.
Okay, let's give it a try.
Well, I wanted to find out. I used to go to North Bay, Ontario, Canada. Well,
uh-huh.
I went there once, but there was this doctor, retired doctor and a fireman, who used to go there in early May every year.
Uh-huh.
And I went up there. I mean, we had trouble because when I went there. But, I mean, I just wondered, why would they go up there that time of the year? When I went there, it was snowing, and they just stayed in the cabin. I went out to fish. But I'm just wondering, what kind of fish are located in North Bay, Ontario, Canada, that you'd want to go there every year?
Well, there would be two. The number one fish is the best-tasting freshwater fish in the world, and to me, and that is a walleye. And then you've got northern pike for sport. Now, the reason you go up so early is that the northern pike and the walleyes are normally a deep water fish. But early in the springtime, very early, right after the ice breaks, they get into shallow water to spawn. And it makes them accessible and makes them more fun to catch. So up in those climes in Canada, the fish spawn right after the ice breaks up.
Okay,
that's why you would go so early.
I just couldn't figure why they would go there. And, you know, especially when it's snowing, they just stayed in the cabin. I was like, what's this all about? I mean,
yeah,
if you're going
right.
to go there,
well,
you should be going outside. They didn't want to. They actually told me that you could catch... Somebody told me you could catch lake trout up there. They have big lake trout.
And indeed, you can. and that's an early spawn fish also. In northern climes, I tell you what, the spring and the summers are so short that the fish have to get started early, and they really do. They'll spawn when the water temperature is in the mid-30s. It's really interesting.
It was snowing when I was there, and I wasn't about to stay in the cabin because I didn't want to.
I understand. I spent a lot of time in those cabins, too, during the – we go probably the second or third week of May, and it rains every day, and it's cold, but you catch about 100 fish a day.
Okay, but they wouldn't even go out. And plus, we got thrown out of the cabin after 3 days because this kid was a prankster and kept throwing firecrackers at me. And I just took the kid and threw him through the screen door, and then his dad took me and threw me through the screen door, and they just threw us out of the cabin. So that was the name of that kid.
Richard, it sounds like a wonderful trip. You mean to put your own hole, or you want to drop?
No, I want to drop because I had no reason to be on hold.
Okay, well, there you go. I'll see you soon, my good friend. This is O'Neill outside, 46. It's 46 minutes after the hour, and somewhere along there is a winner of the radio prize package, I should think. And the question was, what is the musical instrument that Jimmy Houston and I played, we found out that we played, when we were in high school? Interesting, and quite a radio prize package, and it always takes us a couple of weeks to get it to you. But we'll get that answer, I'm sure, from someone here in a few minutes. 404-872-0750-800-972-8255. And the second hour of the program, of course, we will have the Silent Hero Award and the Medal of Honor Tribute. Those are two of the most popular pieces of the second hour of the show. And we do certainly hope that you enjoy it. That and the reason we started that sort of thing was, and I'll tell you now, and when I have a moment, that I started that because I was in a Waffle House. This was years ago, and I walked into the Waffle House one morning, and a fellow jumped down off the stool, and he came over and he hugged me, and he said, "O'Neill, I love you. You're my hero." And of course, he didn't really mean that literally, because he wanted to say something nice. And it caused me to think, who are the real heroes in our lives? Firemen, EMTs, police, soldiers, teachers, doctors, nurses, and sometimes parents. And sometimes we need to ask to grant them hero status. Believe me, being on television doesn't make you a hero. So let's talk now to, let me get my glasses so I can read the name here. Okay, and it is Tony. And so we'll get Tony on the air right now. Tony, good morning. This is O'Neill. Welcome to the program.
How you doing this morning, O'Neill?
Hey, Tony. I'm doing fine. Now, luckily, you happen to know what musical instrument it was that Jimmy Houston and I played when we were youngsters. And what is that?
That is the accordion.
Isn't that sad? I know my mother made me allowed me to quit playing when I would sit down to have to practice, and I carried my baseball glove with me.
Yeah.
And she said, "Well, I don't think this is going to work." So you can play, O'Neill, darling, sweetheart. You can play. You're good enough now. You can enjoy it at your own leisure. You're good enough to play for your own enjoyment. And that was the last day I ever touched it.
Yeah.
I sold it right away. Congratulations. You've got a heck of a prize package headed your way.
Yes, sir. I sure do appreciate it, O'Neill. I sure do enjoy y'all's show. I listen every Saturday morning.
Good deal, and I thank you for that. Your loyalties mean a lot to us. Thank you, my good friend. The package will be on the way in a little while.
All right. You have a great day, and thank you again so much.
You bet. I'll see you soon. There you are. It's 50 minutes after the hour. I was at ICAST this week. That's the largest sport fishing show, I guess, in the world. It was in Orlando, Florida, at the big convention center there. And for the first time in a few years, I'll give you an observation. For the first time in a few years, fishing tackle industry was kind of upbeat. In the last few years, it's been sort of down. You know, heads down. Fishing's not good. Business is not good. I don't know what we're going to do. What, it's a mystery. People aren't fishing. No, but that's not the case this year. No, indeed. Everything was upscale. Everything was positive. Everything was productive. A lot of new items, new products. The rods and reels, oh my goodness, have we reached new levels of pricing for rods and reels? My goodness, some of these reels are $400, $500, and $600 for the regular bass fishing reels. A really finely tuned, expert, highly engineered pieces of gear. And the rods, oh, the rods, hypersensitive, well-made things that you just buy that last a lifetime. So the ICAST show was a big deal. And I'll give you a little hint here. I'll get ahead of myself a little bit. I'm happily involved in the production of a movie. We're going to do this next summer. And in the movie will be Hank Parker, Roland Martin, Bill Dance, Jimmy Houston, and O'Neill will be dragging up the tail, so to speak. I'll be the last guy. And it's a movie about a children's or orphan's fish camp. It's a funny movie, a touching movie, a movie with some terrific life lessons. And those fellows, Jimmy, Bill, Hank, and Roland, have consented to be in the movie with O'Neill. It's not an O'Neill production. Believe me, I don't know anything about making movies. But I am in touch with someone who is. And it's going to be a first-class operation. And I'm so proud. And you know something? Those four guys, and I'm sure you've all watched their programs, Jimmy Houston, Roland Martin, Bill Dance, Hank Parker, and hopefully O'Neill. What you see is what you get. The four of us, we're not actors. What you see on the screen during those fishing shows or hunting shows, that's what we are. And I'm really quite proud that they, and not surprised, that they consented verbally to spend a few days here in Georgia. It'll be a movie made in Georgia. And as we get ad nauseum, we will get to the description of that as we get closer to it next year. It's going to be called, not surprisingly, Bait and Tackle. And it's a fabulous movie. So, 404-872-0750. Whoa, whoa, whoa. 57 after the hour, this is O'Neill. We've got another hour of outdoors headed your way, but for you local guys, I failed to mention last week, but I am now, that O'Neill Outside hats, much like this one right here, nice stuff, okay? Cost me an enormous amount of money. It must be $4 or $5 a hat. You can get those free by visiting the Horsetown locations, the greatest western stores east of the Mississippi River, Horsetown, in Locust Grove, Marietta, and Snellville, and go to Cherokee County Toyota in Canton, Georgia, and all you have to do is walk in and say, I want my hat. I want the O'Neill Outside. I've signed them all. All you have to do is just walk in and get one. So that's kind of worthwhile. As I say, ad nauseum, the hats cost me $7 after I sign them. They're probably will be worth $3, but it is a quality hat. It's something that will keep the sun out of your eyes. and off the top of your head if you're follically challenged like I am. But we got another hour of outdoors headed your way. We'll have the Silent Hero Award. And let's see. I don't know that I've got time. Let's see if we can get Charles to hang out through the news, and I'll get to him when we get back. Talk about getting kids fishing. He's called in about that, and I'm going to ask him to stick around for a few minutes because that's one of my favorite subjects. And summertime is the time to get the kids fishing. You know, one of the things different than Little League and Babe Ruth and a little kids football and soccer and all that, when you take the kids fishing, it's between you and them. You're alone. It's your conversation. You always win when you go outdoors with your children. Always. The team never loses. Ever. Think about that. Team sports are wonderful, and I played them all. But the longest memories and the most cherished memories are in my book called O'Neill Outside. I'll list them for you there, and we'll be back for another hour in a couple of minutes.
WSBB-FM Doraville, a Cox Media Group station. This is